Hey, what's going on, guys? Doc Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. And today is day three wrap up of the marketing conference that I went to down in Orlando with Eve Gigi for 4 days. So this is the second to last day. This day was great because it was all about how do you scale from $10 million to above, anywhere above there, which is just super high level thinking, and some of the strategies are really unique. We also went live on Instagram for this. So we answer some questions we got from people real time. So if you hear us reading a question and responding to it, that's what it is. While we were down there, we also started a Facebook group. If you haven't signed up for it yet, you need to. It is PT Entrepreneurs, the name of the Facebook group, and we were just absolutely floored with the response that we got within the first 24 hours. We had 100 people in the group, and I can tell you it is an extremely engaged group. It's crazy. I'm looking at it right now, and you know, we have at this point about 200 members in the group, and for one post, somebody got 13 comments back of people giving them feedback on their website, feedback on their business. It just from one person. That's crazy, guys. That's so much engagement. This is going to be amazing because we're all going to be able to interact with each other. And these are high level conversations for people that really want to push the profession forward. So I highly recommend that you head to Facebook and join the group. I don't even get on Facebook, but I will do this. To help facilitate the group because I think it's so valuable. So I don't get on there to necessarily look at my family's photos, but I'm gonna get on here and talk business with you guys and help try to push you guys forward within our field because this is a movement that we're trying to create and change our field for the better. And we feel like we have a unique opportunity right now. If you want to be a part of that, head to facebook.com/groups/PT Entrepreneur and you can sign up for this free Facebook group now.
So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name is Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast.
What's going on, guys? Doc Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast, and today is day three of the marketing conference that Mr. EGG and myself have been at for the last few days here down here in Orlando, Florida, and we're doing a wrap-up of today, and we frankly didn't do too much today.
at least not as far as the conference is concerned.
Yeah, so we'll give you a little context to what happened. We've been working on a lot of things as we've been down here. A lot of this is about this kind of movement that we see, which is kind of PT Entrepreneur movement that is, in our mind is, you know, we see our field in a lens that maybe other people don't. A lot of people are down on physical therapy. A lot of people are down on kind of healthcare in general. And what I see is I see a lot of opportunity. I see a lot of opportunity to be creative and to use our skill set in ways that are different than what traditionally was done when it came to physical therapy or any sort of practitioner you might be or healthcare in general. And that is it's a scary place for certain people because if you're used to things being a certain way and they change, it can really make you uncomfortable. And that's okay because what I see is a lot of younger PTs in general, a lot of PTs that are in school up to maybe, you know, 5 to 10 years out of school, we fit in that as well, that are embracing some of the technology that's out there. We're using it in ways that are unique and using it in ways that are leveraging some of these cool tools that have been built maybe for other purposes and being able to then create businesses around that. And this idea of a PT entrepreneur, I mean, this is something that we're super passionate about because, you know, that's what we are. And if you're an entrepreneur, you've been that way your whole life. You know, I was buying warheads at Sam's Club and, you know, and selling them for a quarter a piece, making money in elementary school.
So was I. That's hilarious. I didn't
know
that. Dude,
you got warheads where I was at. And you know what? That was it. I was a weird little kid that was always trying to do things like that. I was always selling things. I was always starting businesses and making things. And there's a lot of you listening to this that are just like that. And you just may have happened to gone to, you know, a physical therapy school or whatever school it might be, and you got a cool degree, and that's awesome. But you still enjoy building businesses,
working with people and being creative. And that's what it's like to be a PT entrepreneur, in my opinion. It doesn't necessarily have to revolve around patient care. I think that's a part of the equation. But man, how much opportunity do we have in the digital world with telehealth, with digital products, with consulting work, with branching off into other veins and doing things like owning a gym where, man, you can own the marketplace because you're a fucking doctor and that you have a trump card compared to anybody else. Oh, and you also understand all the biomechanics in the back end of what is needed to be a really good coach, which is so helpful. So this idea of, man, I'm going into debt and I'm going to get a job making $60,000. Yeah, that's a loser's mentality. You got a sweet degree that you can do so many different things with, and it's up to you to figure it out. And there's a lot of people that are doing it and they're making huge progress, huge strides, and they're being creative. And we're seeing a lot of these things come together here with people from totally different backgrounds, you know? So today we didn't do a lot of conference work because we did a lot of work on other things. And if you're listening to this and you haven't joined our Facebook group yet, you're missing out. This is going to be a game-changing group for you to get associated with and to start to meet other people like yourself that are entrepreneurs in our field, in our community, start to bounce ideas off of each other. And to the point where we hit 100 members. Many of you are in the queue to be accepted, by the way, which takes longer than we thought.
I'm working on it.
Eve is working on it. Within 2 hours, we had 100 members. And how cool is that, man? You know, and some of the, you know, what's your walkout song? That was one of our questions.
Yeah.
We got some of the best responses. It was so good, man. I loved it just to hear like people's creativity with that stuff. So Eve's been grinding away at that. What are your thoughts on the Facebook stuff in particular?
Yeah, no, I mean, the feedback from that is phenomenal. I mean, if we can just all band together, we all have a very similar mindset. Like, we're all willing to serve others. We're all entrepreneurs. You know, as you said, like, it may be a downtime for PTs, but like, that's the time when there's literally the most opportunity for people like us, right? Because nobody's doing the stuff that we're doing, right? And like, the market is just prime from a patient standpoint, from a PT standpoint, from a digital product standpoint. Like, and we wanted to find a place where all these people could come together. We all have the same mindset. We all have the same goal. Let's all figure out how to go forward and do this thing together. And I think that's going to be super powerful, because if we all can get on the same page, I can go at length about how I feel about a lot of dichotomy that's in our profession right now. But if we can all get on the same page with that, I think it's a super unifying factor. And I'm super excited for all of us to get in one place and just really start to do that. It's going to be amazing.
No, it's going to be great. And I'm excited because, you know, the one of the themes of this weekend, or this week, I should say, down here was, you know, how to create movements, how to start movements, and how to see where movements are occurring and you know, being able to facilitate that. And some people do this in a negative way. Some people do this in a very positive way. And, you know, we feel like this is such a positive direction for our profession to go. And I absolutely look forward to being somebody that is a part of that directional change. It's the reason I left the military. I had a general tell me one time at a decision brief, and he said, "Captain Matei, I like the presentation that you had. The thing that I wanted to do was this injury prevention protocol, and I thought it was going to be amazing." And he was an old patient of mine, and I thought for sure he was going to say yes. And he said no. And afterward, he called me in his office and he said, "Hey, Captain Matei, here's the deal. The Army's a big ship. It turns really slowly. What you're saying is we're not ready for right now. It's going to be a few years." And I said, "You know what, sir? That's extremely frustrating. And I'm not sure I want to be on this ship, because I don't want to be on a ship that turns really slow. I want to be on something that I can, you know, be nimble and make decisions and be creative and move and actually use, you know, the ability to visualize things and be come up with solutions to problems that you just can't do in that setting in some cases." And what I see a lot of people that are just frustrated with, you know, with loans, and they get into their careers. And this is the really sad, shitty part. They get into their careers and they're at work all day seeing 20, 30 patients, or they're a student going through their clinical rotations. And they're like, "Is this it? This is what I'm going to school?
We hear it all the time.
This is what I'm working so hard for?"
Yeah.
And now you're stuck seeing all these people that are potentially don't even want to get better, that, you know, the only person that's making good money is that person that's working your ass off, pushing high volume that you have to see. And you're thinking to yourself a year, 2 years into that, "Man, I got to go do something else. What's the group you're talking about? Non-clinical?
Non-clinical PT.
Non-clinical PT. Look, great. That's cool. You know, that sounds like something that is beneficial for a lot of people that maybe want to use their skill set for something else. But fuck, you went to school for 7 years to get that degree, 4 years undergrad, 3 years to get your doctoral degree. And if the only reason that you decide to go do something else is because you hate your job working for a PT mill, you're missing the boat on opportunities that we have where you can use that skill set. And people need you, frankly, to be able to use that skill set in a just a meaningful way to help them live healthy lives. And it's up to us to be able to do that. And if you can't find the job of your dreams, you have to create the job of your dreams. And it's that simple. That's what I had to do when I got out. And we have such a more realistic opportunity to do that now that insurance is getting worse and shittier. And because of that, you know, we can do more. What's that question say, by the way? You got to turn your head to the side.
Yeah, sorry. We should not feel bad about. You guys are inspiring and a good reminder that we should not feel bad about leveraging tech and getting in front of the people to help them.
No, do you think tech's a bad thing?
The fact that there's still some PTs handwriting notes and not using technology, and like, I remember I used to feel bad about direct access. Like, I'd feel bad about having the patient come straight to me. It's like, oh no, they've got to go see the doctor first. Like, I get so frustrated with myself. I can't believe you used to think that way. Like, oh, we have so much to offer these people. And yeah, I mean, I'm just excited about getting everybody on the same page and going forward and just empowering more PTs so they don't have to be frustrated like I was and they can learn. Took me 10 years. I want you to do it straight out of school. I want you to do it quickly. I don't want anything holding you back. Like, let's just go forward and go do this.
Now, I get that question a lot. I mean, it's, you know, young PTs are like, well, I need to get more experience. I need to get my OCS. I need to get a FAOMP. I need to get residency. You don't need to do any of that shit. Trust me. Look, half of getting people better is them believing you're the right solution. And that's communication skills. That's understanding how to market yourself, sell yourself, and present yourself in a way to people that they really realize that you have their best intentions at heart, because that's what most people don't get out of healthcare. Think about how many times somebody goes to a doctor's office, and what's the first thing they do? First of all, they fill out a ridiculous amount of paperwork that sucks, and they don't understand any of it, so now they're confused. And then somebody that doesn't know their name takes them back to a room, puts them in that room, and then closes them in there. And they close them into a jail cell in this office for who knows how long. And if you poke your head at,
usually like an hour or so,
you don't know if you're going to get yelled at. Yeah. Are they going to make me move? Are they going to make me leave? You start counting the cotton balls in there and starting to see what's in the filing little cabinets. And it's like, what is that? Is that a syringe? Is that, what do you do with this? And you're bored. And not only that, you're kind of nervous because you don't know what the heck's going to happen. And this person comes in really quickly. They barely make eye contact with you. All they do is, you know, they're worried about doing their documentation because they see so many damn people all day. You know what? They talk to you for like 3 to 5 minutes. Then they leave. You get no answers, no clarity on what the hell is going on. They give you some medication to take or to go get an image of a joint that probably doesn't even need it. And the solution is not there. There's no solving to that problem, right? There's still all this unknown, and that person has a lot of stress associated with that. So guess what? We have an opportunity to like work with people one-on-one and develop a relationship. How fucking cool is that, man? Like, how many people have you worked with that if you saw, you know, out at a restaurant or whatever, where you'd be like, hey, dude, join us. This would be great.
Yeah.
Half the people I work with, I would want to have dinner with. It's so cool. Because a certain type of person ends up coming to work with us.
Right, right. You know, those personal relationships are just been huge for us. And like, I didn't even realize, like when you put it like that, that's like, it's super uncomfortable. I used to go to a lot of doctor's appointments, patients back in the day, and it was always uncomfortable.
Terrible.
Why did it have to be so uncomfortable?
Yeah.
Like, and just the fact that when we see people now, it's like super fun and super like, not corny, but joyous. And like, we have a good time and like, we also get them better. Like, why can't it be that way? Like,
yeah.
It needs to be that way.
Well, I think that's just the way it is. And here's the other thing, you know, we get this question a lot about, what do you say to people when they ask if you take insurance or not? Well, you know, there's a very, truthful way to answer that. There's some people that'll say like, deflect, and then, you know, make sure that you know, don't answer the question and just avoid it. I think that's not necessarily the most ethical way to do it. You know, I think it's a couple things. So number one, do you even know what your insurance pays for? You know, how much do you know about your insurance? Let us find out about that for you, right? And then we can make a more informed decision. But here's the other thing. you know, I'd assume you're probably frustrated, right? Because you probably have gone to the doctor and you probably have sat in a room by yourself and you spent an hour in the waiting room and or in the waiting room and you're, you know, you got no answers and that person wouldn't even know you from anybody else because so many people they see. And that's very frustrating. And I can promise you that's not going to happen here. I can promise you that when you come in here, you know, you're going to spend an hour with me and I'm going to know your name and you're going to have contact and direct contact with me. Any questions you have, I'll answer. You want me to talk to your spouse because they're not sure what's going on? Let's do that. You know, you want to bring your kid in because, you know, you got to see me before work and make it work out. Fine. Put them in the room with us. We still got shit to solve. And it's, we needed to help you with that. You know, so we can have a serious, direct relationship that we're able to develop with the people that we see. And that is impactful long term. Where are the days of your physician knowing you and everybody in your family? You know, where are the days of healthcare?
We're those people now. That's the bottom line. I thought about the other day, like that we family are. Physician, like PTs are perfectly positioned for that.
Yeah.
Most people are dealing with, right, like cardiovascular health, musculoskeletal injuries. I mean, it's one of the most prevalent things out there. And like, we're the ones to handle it. Like, we're going to become those people. Like these little like micro clinics, you know, the cash-based clinics are going to be these little, like every neighborhood you're going to see a couple of them.
Yeah.
They're going to serve their community and it's going to be a grassroots movement. And that's, you know.
I see it, man. You know, I agree. It's happening. It's healthcare, right? You go to your physician for sick care. Okay. I'll give you a good example. In the Army, they have what's called sick call. All right. Sick call is you go in the mornings before work starts. Usually it's during physical training hours, which are, you know, usually around 6 o'clock in the morning. And we would start sick call at 6 o'clock in the morning. And some people would show up and there are these huge lines would form. Physical therapy, primary care, anything that, you know, you were sick, you would go to primary care. But all the time people would show up and they would get in the line for primary care and they had an ankle sprain or they had knee pain or they'd hurt their back. And they would wait in line, they would get to the front of the line, and then the office manager would ask them what's going on. They would say it. They would say, you're in the wrong line, you go to physical therapy. They wouldn't even go to the physician. The reason why is because they weren't sick. If they had, you know, if they had shingles or they had, you know, whatever, some sort of, we're talking about soldiers, so they probably had STDs. So if that was the case, they don't need to come to see me. Nothing I can do about that. But they need to go get a shot from somebody else and fix that shit right up, you know? But if they go with an ankle sprain to go see their primary care physician, what the hell are they going to do for them? Nothing. Because they're sick care. We're health care. You know, that's what we do. We're wellness movement health care. And that's the position that you have to put yourself in as a direct primary care musculoskeletal provider in the healthcare system, that people know that if something happens, you're the first person that they should go and see. And then all this is sort of the long drawn out explanation of a movement and the idea of a movement and our ability to tell stories around that movement and what we see. This is how we gain traction. This is why we have so many people that want to be a part of this Facebook group. It's because we're not alone here. We're the ones saying it, but there's plenty of you saying it. And now we can get together and we can do it in the same place. And we can start to make this huge shift in our profession and frankly in healthcare that's very much needed. And it's exciting as can be to be a part of that. And anybody that thinks that being a physical therapist right now sucks, they're putting themselves in the wrong positions. They're around the wrong people. And they need to start to look at this a little differently and progress differently, because never in your life are you going to have an opportunity to do something that's going to be this much different, where you're going to be able to have satisfaction with your job, make more money than you're going to be able to working for somebody else.
Serve more people
in a meaningful, impactful way. And it's so just super, super cool to be a part of that and see it as happening.
I wonder if that's part of this conference, like as I'm assimilating this information, we're around all these people who are selling digital products and are super excited. I mean, these guys are like selling real estate stuff or they're selling consumer products and they're just super excited and they have all this passion and they have all this excitement and they like want to go forward in their profession. And I feel like if we go to other conferences, like even PT conferences, we're probably not seeing a ton of that. You know what I mean? Like that energy may not be as, you know, starting to bubble up like as much there. You know what I mean?
And well,
like the new, like you said before, like creating this new opportunity. And that's a big piece of what they've been talking about too.
And look, if you go to a physical therapy conference, and I go to very few of these, very, very rarely at all. Usually if I'm going to a Con Ed course, it's for a specific skill that I'm trying to learn. But when I go to PT conferences, what I see is everybody having a pissing contest over some randomized control trial that frankly doesn't mean shit to me, you know, and what we don't do is talk about, hey, you know,
why don't we teach people how to communicate better and understand what type of person they're dealing with in the practice at the time so that you can get better outcomes, regardless of what kind of manual technique that you learn. You know, if you can match up to that person, it makes a huge difference. I had a conversation with a guy today that teaches sales training, you know, and he was like, I teach people how to understand the personality types that they're working with, you know, and if you can understand, okay, this person's analytical, I need to give them the nitty gritty details on what dry needling is, why they need to do it, what the studies say, research, all the nitty gritty about that. That's what this person wants to know, right? Then you have somebody else that comes in and they're not an analytical person. They're very much just, you know, make decisions quickly on a whim. You know, they're, you tell them that stuff and they're not going to want anything to do with you, mm-hmm. you know, versus, you know, oh, you know, this, whatever, football player does dry needling all the time and he feels a lot better. And this guy's a football fan. Sweet. Now he's thinking, sweet, James Harrison has somebody walk around dry needling him all, you know, all year long. I like football. I'm going to be like James Harrison.
Right.
Yeah, cool.
Let's
dry needling, yeah. Dry needling sounds great. Let's do that. You know, and now all of a sudden we get better buy-in, and the buy-in is what makes up, you know, half of the outcome, honestly. I mean, it's that simple. What was that question? There's somebody that one?
Yeah. He said, what were some of the biggest takeaways you have from being a PT in the Army?
What were some of the biggest takeaways from being a PT in the Army? So number one is that we are able to handle direct primary musculoskeletal care better than any other provider in the military or in the healthcare system, period, except for, I would say, orthopedic surgeons.
They're appropriate for surgery.
From a diagnostic standpoint, those guys are just on another level.
True.
And I default to that. And you got to understand that. Like, there's a reason to go there. But they do surgery. You know, they shouldn't be the front line. And the goal for us should be to avoid that. And not only that, in the system that I was in, it's a socialized medical system. So the amount of surgeries done are much, much less because that surgeon is not getting paid to do surgeries. You're not going to make 10 grand by doing that ACL. But let's say you have something that's like partial thickness rotator cuff tear, right? Which we know, you know, 50% of those re-tear anyway after they get them fixed. So is it actually beneficial to do surgery? I don't know. That's debatable.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for us, they wouldn't even touch a person that was borderline surgical candidate until they'd done 6 to 8 weeks of conservative physical therapy and had proved that it wasn't going to respond well to that. And in many cases, it did. The other thing that I would tell you is that we can use our skill set in many, many different ways, more so than that you're taught whenever you come out of school. So when I took a job as a brigade PT, I got to my assignment and they said, okay, you're in charge of all the injuries, injury prevention, and human performance optimization, which means, hey, guess what? You're the strength coach, whether you like it or not. So three jobs and one person on 3,500, which is, you know, a number of people to try to handle on your own. But what I noticed was the greatest impact that I had within that group of people was not with injury treatment and was not with injury prevention. Because frankly, you try to talk to a 20 to 24 year old male about injury prevention and they doze off. They don't care. But this is where we get back to framing things and communication. If I can talk to that person about, hey, I can increase or decrease your 2 mile run time by a minute if you do these drills.
You can do more push-ups for your.
That's right. Yeah. Guess what? I got their attention and they listen, and that is human performance work. And that gray area where many of us like to live is a place where I think we can have the biggest impact on people's overall health and wellness, because we're more approachable in many ways than, you know, some meathead trainer that maybe is going to have them try to do like walking on an incline treadmill and bicep curls, you know, and we know things that can help them feel better, but also move better. And then we can get them more and more conditioned. So I think that in the Army, you know, it fit a couple different things. And then the last thing is really physical therapists are very, safe direct access providers. We've had direct access in the military for physical therapists since the 70s. So if your state says, oh, you need to go get a referral from a physician, it's because they've got a bunch of fucking money coming from lobbyist groups that are getting put, you know, in front of decision makers. And it's because the American Medical Association, Chiropractic Association, Acupuncture Association, other groups that are fighting over the same piece of the pie are basically putting more money in front of people to not allow that to happen. But if you look at the research, you're talking about decades of you know, direct access PT without any sort of increased negative outcome. And not only that, look at other countries like Australia. It's a socialized medical system. You're incentivized to go to physical therapy, you know? And so to say that we're not good direct access or we're going to miss something, bro, you don't fall off a skateboard and have knee cancer, right? Like, that's not how it happens. Yes, we know what red flags are and we can rule that stuff out. And if you understand primary care, you send them to the right places and they get what they need. You know, so you have to learn those things. That's checks and balances in the medical system. But it is cost effective and it is a way that we need to drive, and it has to happen. And eventually, you know, I think that it will. It's just something that it may take longer depending on which state you're in.
Yeah, that's just something that's going to take time. But I think we're fighting in the right direction, right? Yeah. I really think we are.
I think so. Is this a question we got here, or see what we got? I like these questions, by the way.
How do I get a kink out of my calf? I can feel it in my shoulder when I press on it.
Okay, here's what you do. Go to Mobility Wad and solve your problem. We're talking about business, big man. So Mobility Wad on YouTube, go there, look up Kelly Storette, calf or neck issue. Wrong podcast, ask a question about your calf. You can figure that one out with some Google searches. So let's do this. Let's finish out the last part. So I think the last thing that was really impactful for us was looking at this idea of developing systems and being able to leverage yourself. Mm-hmm. And you do a really good job of that, Eve. So what would you say from a systemized standpoint was like the best thing that you had?
Well, you got to put it all together. And that's what he was talking about there, right? The whole system is the people, the process, and the tools.
Yeah.
So you got to make sure you have the right kind of people, right? So like a big thing I learned quick was, let me get this right, to hire slow, fire quickly, right?
Yeah, it's hire slow, fire fast.
Yeah, close enough, right? And so getting the right people that are a culture fit for your clinic and who you are is such a big piece of that, as well as having a process in place. So much as just go for and just like throw this stuff out there and this is just going to work out for us. Like, no, put the work in. It's like annoying, tedious work, but like put that process in now, and then later down the road, it's going to be a lot cleaner. It's going to be a lot easier to put that stuff together. And the last thing is to have the right tools, right? And that could be technology tools. It could be more of like figurative tools. Like give the people the right tools to complete their job, right? Yep. And all that stuff kind of working together as a system.
Yep. So just think of it like a triangle. So people, process, tools on each point of that triangle. So there's cool tools out there like Slack, for instance. Like, we use Slack in our business, and Slack is a communication channel that allows you guys to kind of like group conversations or work on projects. But it's been great for our business. It's helped us stay really organized. But Slack is just a tool. Without the people and the process to actually implement that, like, hey, we put these things in Slack. That's our process. Our process is, you know, don't gum up email with these things. Slack is used for this, like a direct, quick response, not an email. And then, you know, do those people understand how to use that tool and what the process is? So if everybody's on the same page, then now we have a much more effective system that's going to work really well. And when you take a step away, like both of us are not where our practices are right now, mm-hmm. and things are still going, you know, we can see, you know, patients are being seen, new visits are being booked, all these things are happening. It's because, you know, we set these systems up and they involve people, processes, and they involve tools, best tools that we can find to really organize, you know, what we're working on.
Another good question.
Go for it. Unless it's somebody talking about their calf.
No more calf to shoulder pain today. Can any PT, we get this one a lot, fresh out of grad school, start seeing patients in their own small cash practice, like at a local gym or their own gym?
This is my wheelhouse.
This is it right there. You got a lot of things happening with that.
I love it. The answer is yes. Okay. The answer is yes. And it's happening all over the country because I get a chance to talk to these people on a frequent basis. You know, it's so cool to see. You know, I think students are much smarter now, even than when we came out of school. You know, like the things that you're learning, hopefully it stays like that forever, right? They always are smarter and smarter and smarter. I think it comes down to confidence. And I also think it comes down to what sub niche you feel like you have competence in. Because, you know, you may be a really good runner or something like that, and you ran, you know, growing up, or you ran in college, and you say, okay, cool, I want to focus on working with runners. Well, you have this really elaborate kind of strong background in this one area, and then you have a baseline skill set as a provider. That's a better fit, in my opinion, than somebody who has an awesome skill set as a provider but doesn't understand that running group at all, right? So if you have a really defined niche, then absolutely you can be effective coming straight out of school. And we see this time and time again, you know? It's happening more and more and more and more. And I think it's less scary. It's the whole idea of like a 4-minute mile, right? When no one had ever broke the 4-minute mile, they thought it was impossible. Then all of a sudden, as soon as somebody broke it, like multiple people broke it within a year after that. And it's been broken however many times over at this point.
And we're seeing that waterfall effect. Like,
yeah,
right, somebody finally started a cash-based practice in a gym, and now more people are doing it, and more students are doing it,
yeah,
and more students doing it right out of grad school. And for me, it was like, there's three things that we're going to talk about. It's probably more. So you got to have the right mindset. And I think if you're already thinking about it, you're already in the right mindset. You got to have the confidence, and you need to have more confidence than you think, right? Like, even when I was a student, and I would consider myself, like, when I was a student, I was like a bad PT, but I was getting people better all the time.
Yeah,
I
don't know you. People.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, as a student, people are getting people better all the time. So you have the skill set to do that. And then the business sense, and I think that's not what you get a lot in grad school.
Right.
And that's something that, again, you can learn in maybe the Facebook group that we created today, right? You can start learning some of those things and like go seek that information out, because that is something that maybe that last piece of it to put it all together, because you have every other tool that you need, I guarantee you.
Yeah. And not to give myself a shameless plug, but I would tell you, look, if you're thinking about starting something in a gym, a practice in a gym, whether it's a side hustle or a standalone thing you're going to do, which I would recommend starting as a side hustle. It's, trust me, I've done it the other way, where you just burn the ships and you go straight into it. And that's that is a stressful thing to do. You know, you put your back against the wall and you got to fight your way out, especially when you have two kids, you know, to go along with that. But what I would tell you is, you know, starting with a side hustle allows you to have some sort of salary, potentially benefits, start your practice that you really want to be in, and let that process happen over, you know, a 6 to 12 month period. But if that's something that you're really interested in, like Eve said, you have some of these things that you're learning in school and you're getting via maybe your background in different athletics or whatever your niche is, but what you're not getting is business experience. You're not getting business information. And if you can't find something, you know, in school, you're probably not going to get it, and you probably need to go find it, and you need to pay for it. And the reason I say this is, when you pay for information, you take it so much more seriously, and you'll get much more out of that, right? I used to think that this was just people saying this because they're trying to sell me shit. And when I got out of the Army, I had plenty of, you know, tons of books and all kinds of stuff. When I finally invested into some business education, you know, I was like, I think these guys are just trying to get my money, man. I can learn this stuff with a book. And it was totally different, because I had then invested my money and time into this resource. And I was like, damn, I got to get my money back. 10 times what I just paid for it. And I can tell you, you know, the course we have, the Gym PT Blueprint, is something that people invest in. This is a $1,000 course. It's $1,000. You know, you can do payment plans that are, you know, $200 a month for 6 months or whatever, or something like that, that offsets some of that somewhat. But I can tell you this much, something like that you invest in, you'll get so much more out of than trying to piece together some stuff, you know, from different sources, or just trying to figure some stuff out on your own, because you'll probably be successful, but it may take a lot longer. And I'm not, you know, I'm definitely not hypocritical about this stuff. I literally just dropped over $20,000 on a business group tonight that I'm going to be a part of for the next year, because I honestly believe that you have to, you know, really, you have to seek this information out. And if you can pay for it, and it's a trusted group that you really want to be a part of, it's up to you to put the work in.
And you're good about that. Sorry. You're so good about reinvesting in yourself and in the company. And like, that's some of the psychology of it too. Like, invest in yourself. Like, I'm going to invest money that I'm going to go ahead and do this. Like, part of it is that fear that you don't think you're going to do it. Like, I think that's what's stopping us. It's not a monetary issue, because we've got money on a lot of things, but like, that buy-in is huge, not only for us, you know, but the buy-in is
huge. Yeah, it's huge.
There's a couple other questions.
Yeah, it's huge.
Too.
Yeah,
let's see. So George asks, knowing what you know now, do you think you would have started your practice sooner?
Well, I couldn't have, because I owed the Army 4.5 years. No. I don't know how to answer that, because I didn't have a choice.
Yeah,
so.
I would say, so I did pediatrics for 3 years. I ran an insurance-based clinic for 4 years, and then did a cash-based PT clinic. I would say, yes, I wish I would have done it sooner. There is that caveat, though, that like, my comfort level, like, I needed all the business stuff to be automatic. I need to learn that. And it took me that long to learn that. So it's whenever you feel comfortable doing it, right? And for me, it wasn't the skills. It was really that business stuff. And I had to just, it took me time to learn that. If I could have learned that faster, I would have done it as soon as possible. So it's just so independent. It's like, you can't blanket that question as this is when you'll be ready. It's like, you're ready when you're ready. You know what I mean? But like the market right now is just, it's good, man. Like you need to, it's good. You got to go.
Yeah, totally. And you know, for me in undergrad, I worked as a personal trainer, and if I hadn't gone to school in the Army, I probably would have continued to do that to work my way through school. And what I think I probably, you know, would have had an opportunity to do was be able to springboard a lot of the clients that I would have worked with into physical therapy clients, the very similar populations, and be able to start some sort of side business like that. And then eventually make it full time. But I don't know if I would have gone full time. I just think that that's a very, like if you go straight into it with no, you know, with no other revenue stream at all, unless you have a lot of savings, I think there's better ways to go about it where you're not necessarily killing yourself. But in some cases, you know what, some people do better whenever they put these really hard timelines for themselves. Like I gave myself 2 months to replace my income in the military when I moved to Atlanta. And it was because, well, you know, I had a 2-year-old and a 6-month-old. You know, I didn't have a choice. You come home, you see that, and it's not hard to work. It's not hard to work your ass off because you're the only person bringing money in. Yeah. You know, so in some cases, you know, yeah, maybe it puts a fire under you a little bit more, but I think there's better ways, less stressful ways to go about it for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Another question. When do you go all in from side hustle to full-time cash based?
Okay. So I think that that's a good question.
Very good question.
In my experience with the people that we've worked with, in particular our mastermind group, we see this a lot. Like some of the people are starting out with like side hustle businesses. So what I typically recommend is that they start with 2 days a week working on their side hustle business. But they make these sort of like longer days where maybe they have eight hours available each day. And so we'll put it to you this way. So like one of the guys in our group started practice back in December. December was his first month in practice, 2 days a week in his cash practice. And then he got a job working at a hospital, left his regular clinical job. And that was our advice, or that was my advice for him. I was like, okay, you're going to set up 2 days. And you're going to have 8 treatment sessions a day. And when you get to a point where you have a wait list for that to fill up, then you can do one of two things. You can say, okay, I'm going to bring my hospital time down to maybe 2 days and you focus on your practice 4 days a week. Or you can just go all in at that point. But for him, it's February or it's March now. But in February, 2 days a week, this is a clinic in South Carolina. He was able to generate about $5,000 in revenue. And this is so full month of December, which is a bad month for cash practice. Full month of January, which is a better month. And a full month in February, which is a short month. So he did $5,000 on a short month in February, working 2 days a week, which for him is getting super close to replacing a salary that he had you know, at his traditional job. So I think 2 days a week, whenever you get to a point where you are just tapped out 2 days a week, then you can make the decision of, okay, cool, I'm going to go all in, or I'm going to, you know, take a couple of days back. But I recommend 2 days, 16, you know, sessions a week. You know, that's a lot if you think about it. You know, if you're, I'm going to do all this math here, dude. What is this? So let's say you're at 60 sessions in a month, and you know, our rate's about 200 a session, which I think most people should drive up towards that. You know, 60 sessions, $200 a visit, $12,000 a month. Decide what you want to do then.
Yeah, then it's an easy decision, right?
These are not monopoly money. These are real freaking numbers, okay? I'm telling you, this is not something that we're just making up. This is happening. It's happened. This is our practice. You know, our practice do a lot more than that. And you know, this isn't posturing, positioning. You know, there's a lot of room for us to improve. Don't get me wrong, but these side hustle businesses, I don't underestimate the potential that you can have working, you know, in a cash setting with super low overhead, and your margins are really good, and that can turn into a true long term business where you have other people come in and seeing patients for you, and then you get some of your time back. You can work with the people that you really like. You can focus on building your business, or you can see as many people as you want. It just depends on what you want to do.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. I mean, I would say that the best time is you fill that schedule and you kind of think about how much am I actually marketing my services, right? Yeah. And just you can, when I kind of went from one PT to a second, I was kind of afraid to do that. And it's a similar difficult transition. But like, once you open that schedule and you open your schedule, it fills, right? And so like, if you're marketing very little and you're still seeing like, same doing side hustle, you're doing it like, you know, you're filling your 8 hours in a week, like you're going to market more. I mean, have a plan and roll that stuff in place, but like that stuff will fill, right? Like if you have the processes in place, open up those floodgates and let it happen.
Yeah, no, I agree. What's this one say?
Jim, oh, you're gonna like this. Jim PT blueprint, worth every penny.
There you go. Hey, look, I don't even need your money. All right, we're not trying to scam you. You know, we're just trying to help people. And you pay attention. Simple as that.
We're good, I think.
Oh, that's a long one.
Yeah, there's more coming. What is okay, that? All right. What's your opinion of what typical PT students are taught throughout their career? That's a loaded one. Do you think it's good information? It seems like some PTs formulate their own opinions based on their experiences.
Okay, so I think that you go to physical therapy school to pass a test. You go to physical therapy school to pass the boards. And because the boards test you on things that maybe are not very relevant, I remember learning this in school. We were learning about like ultrasound, right? And I remember our professor, he was like, I hate that I have to teach you this, but you need to know this to pass your boards. And that's important. Right. That's why you're here. So just learn this and then you'll probably never do it again. And that's okay. And, you know, I remember thinking, it's not okay. That kind of sucks. Like, we got to learn this. You're going to test me on this and I'm never going to use this. So I think that, I think what you have to understand is you're in school to pass a test. And then from there, you can decide what to do whenever you leave. So I do think that there's things that should change with physical therapy school. I think that every physical therapy school should teach a lot more on communication and the idea of, heart-centered sales is what they call it. Like sales to help people, not sales to sell them shitty products. And I think that our outcomes would be a lot better. And I think people's communication skills would be much better because of that. I'm obviously biased and I think there should be some sort of like, you know, at least option for more entrepreneurship within maybe an elective or something like that. But I think by and large, most PT schools do a really good job. And they're also restricted too, because many of them are government or state owned entities like the state schools. So they have less variability in what they can teach. And, you know, so it is what it is. I don't think that they get that much flexibility.
I think you're totally right. Like they're there to get you to pass the boards. And that's exactly what they're meant to do and nothing else. And we live in an age where, you know, when I went to PT school, we did it, but like there wasn't as this much information out there. So like you can go and seek out your own information. I'm not saying that you should, and obviously things need to change, but like that's, you know, kind of your responsibility. Like that's where I want to go own my own cash-based PT practice. I'm going to go find that information. I want to go work in the hospital. I want to do Parkinson's, like go find that information out. Like they're there for that reason. And as soon as you kind of realize like that's all they're there for, you can just warp that and say, all right, I'm going to go forward and I'm going to find out this information myself, because that's part of the movement we're talking about, right? Like you're leading from the front. You know what I mean? Like it's a big part of it.
Totally. What's this? We got one more. What is this? I like these questions.
No, we just had a lot of content this week, Danny. Love it. Yeah. This is our third day in a row.
All right, man. Yeah. Well, yeah. When we break up when the bromance gets broken up, when we're not in a hotel room together in Orlando at a marketing conference, we'll figure out a way to kind of do more of these. But this has been fun. So, guys, this is day 3 wrap up. We're getting some Instagram live questions. So if you're listening to this on the podcast, you know, thanks so much for listening. As always, we appreciate it. Share this with your friends if this is some content you think that they would enjoy. And check out the Facebook group, man. This is going to be just a fun place to be. You're going to get a chance to interact with a lot of people, like Eve and myself. And there's a lot of us out there, man. You know, we're the kind of people that, you know, when we do a mastermind event, we build a workout in on Saturday mornings. Like that's what we like to do. We want to be around people that want to be healthy and fit and like to be around other people like that and train, but also understand how to blend that gray area, with strength and conditioning and physical therapy. And have aspirations of doing something business related, you know, they want to do something, where they can leverage their skill set, leverage their time, and, you know, create financial stability, financial independence for themselves and their family long term, because that's the goal, guys. Like, you know, the money's good for three things. It's fun to make, it's fun to spend, it's even more fun to give away. And when you start to you have a business where you're generating revenue, then you can help so many people with that. And if you're broke, you can't help anybody, right? So simple as that. So as always, thanks for listening. Check out the Facebook group, and we will catch you next time. Hey, real quick before we go, I just want to say thanks so much for listening to this podcast. If you're one of the people that's already headed over to iTunes and left me a review, I really appreciate it. There's been over 50 iTunes reviews, and all of them being 5 stars, that have been left on this podcast since we started in August. That's awesome. And I read every single review. I take every little piece of advice that you give me in there, any criticism, any positive feedback that you have, I read all of it. And it's amazing to see that we're even getting reviews internationally at this point. So if you're one of the people that's reviewed the podcast, thanks so much. If you're an active listener of this podcast, I highly, highly encourage you to subscribe to the podcast and go to iTunes and leave me a short review. I'd love to hear what you have to say. And it really does help me get this information in front of more people. So guys, thanks again for your time, and keep listening.